Good morning. Today's scripture reading is going to be coming from Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Again, it's Luke chapter 9, verse 23. And he said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me."
The elders are certainly appreciative of all the men who participate in some form of leadership in the congregation. Here's an example that you're about to behold here in a moment. The Apostle Paul told Timothy, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me amongst many witnesses, commit thou the same to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." 2 Timothy 2, verses 1 and 2. Brother Martrell Sanders comes to us as a young man in the faith who has a zeal that is contagious. And we hope and pray that other young men will follow this example as well. As Martrell examines himself in light of God's word and understands the seriousness of presenting God's word before God's people, this is not something we take lightly, nor do we gloat in, but we're to glorify Almighty God when presenting God's truth. And we know Brother Montrell will do a great job this morning while our minister is away. The elders have full confidence in him as well as others who are here amongst the flock. So at this time, give your attention to Brother Montrell as he preaches God's saving grace. Brother Montrell.
In the beginning, God created Adam. Through Adam, sin entered into the world. It was all a part of Satan's will. Man forgot about God. Sin spread like wildfire. It was as if man strived only to gratify, but he never seemed to be satisfied. So man created new ways of sin. Man, driven by his lust, man lusting after power. Man lusting after money. Man lusting after man. Man lusting after animals. Man even was lusting after children. Man driven by his lust to the point where God had to turn his head. And God, he went and found heaven's best, his son Jesus, and he disguised him in flesh, and he sent him here to a dark and dying world to turn some light on. And Matthew, chapter 4 and verse number 16. The people who sat in darkness saw great light. The people who sat in the regions and the shadows of death, light has sprung up. In Luke chapter 7 and verse number 16, the people, they said, God has came down here. Luke 7:16, God has came down here to visit his people. Jesus came down here. He did many signs and wonders and miracles in front of the people. A lot of people ran to Jesus. A lot of people embraced Jesus, but there were a few men who wanted to follow Christ, but they wanted to only follow him on a part-time schedule. And Jesus said, no, to follow me, you must deny yourself. See, man can control any and everything but himself. Man, his worst enemy is his inner me, that inner flesh driven by his lust. See, lust is the driving force behind sin, according to James chapter 1 and verse number 15. Even from the beginning of time, sin was from three forms of lust. Well, actually two: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and a pride of life. As a matter of fact, let's look back in the beginning. Let's go to Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 6. Let's look at the beginning. Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 6. Can I get a reader?
And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food,
there was a lust of her flesh. She saw that the tree was good for food,
and that it was pleasant to her eyes, eyes.
It's the lust of her eyes.
And a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat.
See, the devil can only place the fruit in front of you. And it's up to you rather to take a bite. Do you remember in Joshua chapter 7 when Achan, he said, when I have seen the beautiful garments of the Babylonians, when I seen all the sparkling jewelry and all the riches that they had, I stole it, I coveted it, I lust after it, and I hid it in my tent. And he suffered the consequences due to that. But do you remember when Jesus was tempted? The devil had placed a piece of bread in front of Jesus, but he didn't bite him. The devil had placed the world in front of Jesus, but he didn't take it. The devil also said, Jesus, I want you to demonstrate your power. But Jesus denied himself. It's going to cost us something. It's going to cost us something to follow Christ. It's going to cost us self. Do you remember when Jesus went and found John and James? They were fishing in their boat. He said, follow me. So John and James left their fishes, they left their finances, they left their future, and they even left their father in the boat to follow Christ. See, that's how you deny yourself. Do you remember when Saul of Tarsus, which now we know him as Paul, Jesus had shined a light around him, and he said, Saul, Saul, why art thou persecuting against me? The first thing that Paul said, and the last thing that Saul said, when he was Saul, was, Lord, what do you want me to do? See, he denied himself. He was on his way to persecute Christians, but he denied himself. Saul, which we know now as Paul, said in Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 3, he said, my life is hid in Christ. Philippians 1 and verse number 20, he said, Christ is magnified in my body. Paul said, I am a fashion model because I am clothed in Christ. Romans chapter 13 and verse number 14. Did you know that in the military, if you are in the military, there are certain things when you are in uniform that you can't do. If you are in uniform, you can't. It's some things you can't do. It's places that you can't go. And it's people that you can't be around when you're in uniform. Likewise, we are clothed in Christ. And there are some things that we can't do. And there are some things and places that we can't go. Because we are clothed in Christ. You have to deny yourself. Because denying yourself, if you do not deny yourself will get you in a lot of trouble. Let's turn to Luke chapter 18 and verse number 18 real quick. And look at an example of what happens when you don't deny yourself. Luke 18, verse number 18. Come on, read. Luke 18, verse 18. Let me get a reader, bro.
And a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witnesses, honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, all these I have kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. And he heard this, and he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich.
See, this rich young ruler couldn't follow Christ because he couldn't deny himself. See, it was very easy for Peter to deny Christ, but it was very hard for Peter to deny himself. He was too afraid. See, denying yourself gets you one step closer to following Christ. So, like, what is stopping us from denying ourselves? Why is it so hard for us to deny the worldly lust that war against our souls? See, yourself has gotten you to the place where you are now in your life. All the thoughts that you have, you thought over the years, all the decisions you made have brought you to where you at today. Are you frustrated? Are you tired? Are you stressed out? Are you lost? Well, maybe it's because you have been living or being led by yourself and not led by Christ. So what happens, we do wrong things and we receive wrong results. And then you know what happens? Some of us, we blame God. God, why did this happen to me? Why did you let this happen to me? But do you remember Job and his friends? When Job and his friend and his wife, they blamed God for his sufferings. Job's wife said, curse God and die. See, but if you remember, God had nothing to do with that. That was the devil doing all that to Job. See, the devil has mastered making it seem like he don't exist. See, he's mastered that. He's not on TV. Like, we think about God and what's going on in the world, the bombs in Afghanistan. We, oh, God, why are you... The devil is responsible for that. So he wants you to blame God. He wants you to hate God. He wants you to blame God for everything that's going on. He wants you to rise up. He wants you to fight. But Christ, he wants every man to deny himself. And that'll be the problem, the answer to the problem. And also, Christ wants you to take up your cross. Wants you to deny yourself. That's the first step. Take up your cross. Do y'all remember those zombie movies we used to watch back in the day? When the zombie will be running after the man, and it'll be a lot of them, and they'll be surrounding the man, and they'll be reaching out to get the man, and then he pull out his cross. And then he'll pull out his cross, and the zombies will back up. He could be surrounded by him, but he could divide the crowd and go right through the middle. He could go through with no hurt, harm, or danger. See, we're living in a dark and dying world today full of zombies. You know a zombie when you see one. You know what they look like. They look all beat down. They look bruised up. Their face are slowly decaying from all of the drinking and the smoking and the vomiting every night. You know a zombie when you see one. They sleep in the day, but they rise up and play in the night. And let me ask you a question. Do you know that if you get too close to a zombie, they'll bite you? And then what'll happen? You'll end up turning into a zombie sooner or later. So why would you make friends with a zombie? So what you have to do, you have to understand that a zombie looks at you as a curse, Galatians 3 and verse 13. You a curse to them. So you have to keep your cross up. And you have to keep following Christ. You have to follow Christ to the Garden of Gethsemane, where Christ was exceedingly sorrowful. Where he fell on his face. He was praying to God. He was in deep agony. He was crying. His sweat was dripping as great drops of blood. So you might be going through something right now in this very moment, right now. You might be seeking, Lord, please help me. Please rescue me. In this very moment, you may have lost a loved one, and you might be those memories, those past memories. They leave an implant in your heart. You can't live no more like you used to. Life is empty. See, sometimes what you have to do, you have to cry. Because sometimes crying, it helps you. It uplifts you. What did Jesus do when Lazarus died? So sometimes men, we feel like we're too strong. No, we can't cry. But Jesus cried. Or maybe you going through something right now where a friend or a loved one betrayed you like Judas because you are carrying your cross. So you might be praying right now on your knees when you go home tonight. You might get on your knees and you might pray. You might say, Lord, help me in this situation. You might be wanting him to change your situation. But nevertheless, pray that God's will be done because God's will is always good. In Luke chapter 22 and verse number 43, our merciful God, he heard Jesus cry in that very moment in the garden. He sent an angel to rub Jesus' shoulders. He sent an angel to comfort Jesus in this time of need. See, God hear our prayers. See, but this is the trick, though. He won't let the devil... See, some people think God putting this on me too much. No, no. He won't let the devil put too much on you. Do you remember in Job? The devil pretty much said, I'm going to do this to him. I'm going to do that to him. God said, look, you can do whatever you want to do, but just don't kill him. See, he won't put too much on Job. It's the devil who puts the the stuff on you, not God. See, we get to a point where we blame God for when we go through stuff. So he will not let anything happen to us that we can't bear. And what did Job do? Job, he grew stronger. He grew in patience. And he hung in there. And God, he blessed him for his obedience. So you might got to follow Jesus to the injustice hall, where you might be falsely accused and took advantage of. Or your boss, he might mistreat you, or he might lay you off or fire you for no apparent reason. You might even have close friends and church members even that'll deny you like Peter. But that's all a part of carrying your cross. There was a time when Jesus was carrying his cross, and the cross got heavy to a point where Jesus couldn't go no more. And a man named Simon came and he put Jesus' cross on his back. And he carried Jesus' cross. See, when the weight gets heavy, when things seem to be too hard, when you feel like you want to throw the towel in, you have to rely on your brothers and sisters in Christ to help you along the way. See, Simon, he carried Jesus' cross for him. In the Bible, in Galatians chapter 2 and verse... Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 2, it says, "Bear ye one another's cross." Romans chapter 15 and verse number 1, it says, "We that are strong are to bear the infirmities of the weak and to please not ourselves." 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 4, it says, "Comfort ye one another in all trouble." 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 26, it says, "When one member suffer, all members suffer." Let's turn to Exodus chapter 17. Exodus chapter 17, verse number 9. Exodus chapter 17 and verse number 9.
"And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out and fight with Amalek tomorrow. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand." So Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and fought with Amalek, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hand, the one on the other side, and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down.
See, in this situation, the Israelites would have lost the war. God's cause would have been on a halt. Because if Moses' hands would have, he was trying to hold the rod of God up and it got weak. And it took two brothers to come and to hold Moses' hands up. Because when he hold his hands up, they would win. When they come down, they would lose. So, in this battle called life, see, you cannot survive, I don't care who you are, unless you have help and you accept help from your brothers and sisters. See, you will get tired. You will grow weary from holding your cross and you will give up. Simon carried Jesus' cross all the way to Mount Calvary, where they laid him on that cross and they nailed him to that cross. And he hung, and they hung him high so the world can see. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 2 and let's read verse number 21. 1 Peter chapter 2.
"For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did not sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously."
Christ endured it all. All that will live in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. 2 Timothy, chapter 3 and verse number 12. Jesus said in John chapter 16 and verse number 33, "In the world, in me you shall have peace, but in the world you shall have tribulations. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." Did you know, if you are a member of the body of Christ, or the church of Christ, like I said, you are a member of Christ's body. If you are a member of the church, you are a member of his body. So the world will never stop beating on us. The world will never stop spitting in our face. The world will never embrace us. We just have to look to Jesus, because he's the author and finisher of our faith. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. And now, he is set down at the right hand of God, right hand of the throne of God. It's Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 2. So you just have to keep following Jesus. And go ahead and follow him on to heaven, where God shall wipe away all tears from your eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither shall there be no more sorrow, nor crying, and there shall be no more pain. Revelation 21 and verse number 4. Paul said in 2 Timothy 4 and verse number 7, I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness with the righteous judge, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Not to me only, but unto them also that love his appearing. There is a scripture in the Bible that jumps out to me when I read it. And that's Mark chapter 14 and verse number 54. The scripture says that Peter, he followed Jesus. But this after he denied him. He followed Jesus from afar off. See. How close are you following Jesus? Maybe you're afraid to follow Jesus because you feel the mockery and you feel the ridicule and the scorning of the world. Maybe you don't want to follow too closely because you don't like persecution, so you will blend in with the zombies and you will follow Jesus from a great distance. Or maybe you are not following him at all and you wonder why you don't have any peace. Isaiah chapter 59 and verse number 8, the way of peace they have not known, and there is no judgment in their ways. They have made their paths crooked. Wherever way they go, whichever way they go, they will not know peace. I highly recommend to you today that you take heed to this invitation that I'm trying to invite you to, and that you stop serving the God of this world. Because he wants you to lift yourself up. Live and let live. He wants you to mock and scorn at the cross. He wants you to follow him, because he will lead you into hell. It's a sad day. It'll be a sad day when you have your eyes closed and you wake up in hell. It's a sad day. You being not so bad of a person, but you just didn't do what God wanted you to do. You will be in the same jail or the same hell with those that are in jail. Those murderers, those criminals, those rapists, those Hitlers. That's a sad place to be if you leave this earth and you don't have yourself together. You will be in a place where there is no light, Jude 1 verse 13. You will be in a place where there is no water. You can ask the rich man in Luke chapter 16. You will be in a place where there is no peace, Matthew 13 and verse 42. You want to know why? Because there is no Jesus. Because he is the everlasting light. He is the living water, and he is the Prince of Peace. The only person that's standing in your way this morning is you. You have to deny yourself. Allow yourself to hear and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. Take a look at yourself and realize that you have been going down this wrong path in the wrong direction for all these years. And what you have to do, you have to repent, which means to make a U-turn. And you go in the other direction and live your life for God. And then allow yourself to confess in front of all these witnesses that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then let us bury yourself. Yourself will die. Let us bury yourself, and you can rise up a new man that will carry his cross and that will follow Jesus. Come today. Come now. While together we stand and sing. Thank you.